Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that we can come together today. Thank you, Lord, that we know that as we come into your presence, Lord, you are with us. And we can, Lord, connect with you, Lord, if we open our heart to you. And we, Lord, open our ear to hear, our sight to see, Lord. We, Lord, may be able to receive from you, Lord, the thing you have in store for us today. Help us, Lord, to be able to connect. Help us, Lord, to be able to, Lord, know, Lord, you today, experientially, and, Lord, with our mind, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Amen. We've been talking about having a relationship with God. Praise the Lord. And is somebody recording this on maybe a phone? Yeah, you. Thank you. this probably is the most important thing that we can do. Because this is what God wants from us, more than anything else. See, all the other things are really secondary compared to a relationship, maintaining a relationship with Him. And, you know, I'll give you an example here. Okay. The first commandment talks about loving the Lord your God with everything you got. Well, let's shift that from He's our Father. So let's shift that in actually the experience the child has when related to his father, his physical father. And consider the situation in which, you know, the father is unstable, that is unpredictable. That you don't know when he's going to blow up or when he's going to be kind to you. Tell me what kind of love that child is going to have for his father. If there is fear because he's needing the support of the parent, but he cannot really love him. Actually, deeply inside, he may even hate him. So, that's what religion has done for us through the century. Unless we get rid of the image the religion has put in us about God and the poor interpretations and translation of the Bible, and the matter which is that, and the poor understanding on how to understand the Bible, we are going to be stuck in the same situation. And we wonder why people don't have a relationship with God. Unless we know that He's dependable, that He's faithful, that He's always the same, and it doesn't change, that He loves us no matter what, we are not going to be able to love God, no matter how many commandments you can hear. Because you cannot command somebody to love somebody else. Okay. So we have to understand that for that to be true, some things have to be in place for us, in terms of understanding. See, that's what religion does. You know, it portrays God as somebody that is there, angry with you, and is ready to blow you up as soon as you made a mistake, and you don't know when that's going to happen, and you don't know even why. Because you don't know His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So the idea here is we have to understand there are some things that has to change in us to be able really to love God the way He wants to love us to love. And there is a reason why He loves us that way. Because He created us. Because He's our Father. Because He cares about His creation. And He knows how messed up we are. I'm not saying one thing. The Bible says that. But you know, the Bible, the way it expresses itself, He expresses Himself to talk to specific people. And those specific people have the ability to understand only certain things. So He has to express Himself. You know, there's to be communicating in a way that they can understand. Not everybody. And the people, everybody else, you should be connecting to who they are talking with and so be able to interpret the communication properly. See, the letter kills. The spirit gives life. If you understand what the scripture means, see, the letter, you take literally everything that the Bible says, and this is the word of God, and you're just religious. Because this is something written for a specific people to different people at different times. With different understanding and different ability to understand. And if you take everything on the same level, you're going to be really confused. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, I've been trying to show this in different ways the last few weeks especially, okay? But, you know, I think that one has to see this, how it's repeated over and over and over in the Bible. See, it's trying to communicate something that we need to understand to be able to connect properly with what the Word says and to connect properly with the source of the word, with the Father. You know, Isaiah, doesn't matter which book of the Bible you go, the truth is there, but it's expressed in different ways because it was spoken to different people. When I speak to a two-year-old child, I don't talk the same way as I talk to an adult person. Why? Well, the same thing, you know, when you talk to people that are not born again, you cannot talk the same way as when you talk to somebody that is born again. But there is different ability to actually receive because the mind and the spirit aren't the same. They are a completely new creature. Or being with different mental and spiritual capacity. We're going to see about the mind of Christ, but we're just going to see how important it is for us to understand those differences. In Isaiah 52, you know, chapter 3 says, For thus says the Lord, Isaiah says, you have sold yourself for nothing. I mean, this is talking to the children of Israel to those days. And you shall be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord God, my people went down at first into Egypt to dwell there. Then the Assyrians oppressed them without cause. See, all these things happen without cause. Now therefore, what I have here, says the Lord, that my people are taken away for nothing those who rule over them make them wail, says the Lord. And my name is blasphemed continually every day. What is talking about you? The control that they were under by leaders that didn't know what they were doing, and they conveyed wrong messages and wrong information to them. So they got in bondage without any reason, because the bondage was in the communication that they were getting, the ideas that they had. And they themselves put themselves into bondage. This is what, you know, we're doing religious deeds all the time, and they do even today. Verse 6. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they should know that in that day, that I am he who speaks. Behold, am I. So this is saying, you know, the day in which they shall know my name. And he's not talking about the actual name. You know, when he talks about names here, he's not somebody that now we have to be literally finding out what the name is. That's the same stupid mentality that put you into a bondage. Okay? What he's talking about is his character, what he's like. All the names of God applies to his names. See, when people, even in the Old Testament, looked at him according to his names, there was no problem. But when they start looking according to the religious tradition that they had, they were in trouble. That's what he's talking about here. Okay. So, let me go back. Let me read this scripture again, because it's important. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know that I am, that in that day, that I am he who speaks. Behold, it is I. How beautiful. And that's the result of what that perception, knowing the name, that the impact that is going to have. That what is coming out is, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. You see, that message is the message of good news that set people free. Okay, good news. Who proclaim peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaim salvation, they say to Zion, your God reigns. Okay. Now, I want to get into that more. I want to see now, you know, a perspective from the New Testament. See, everything that you read in the Bible, you have to take it in the perspective of the New Testament, because even in the Old Testament, they were essentially saying the same thing, but was veiled, was covered, was distorted, because was a type and a shadow, wasn't the real thing. A type and a shadow cannot say the whole thing that is there, because it's only a small reflection. So if you take that as the truth, even in the New Testament, if you take just one scripture as the truth, you end up being religious and you're going to be lost. The only thing, you have to take the whole book, and you have to harmonize all the book together to be able to interpret any part. So you have to check everything that you see in any point with all the other parts and make sure that there is no contradiction, because otherwise you are putting yourself into bondage. Now, in John chapter 6, what Jesus said should help us to understand the way we have to look at things. And he said it quite clearly. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Okay. So that is pretty clear, pretty straightforward. So that should be not just a statement of information. This is actually a directive, statement giving us the clue on how to approach God, giving us the process that we have to go through. Okay? Now, just after that, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. I mean, that's a pretty strong statement. Because he said, up to now, you didn't know what the Father was like. You didn't know who was. Now you know. I mean, his assumption and his statement was that you know everything that you need to know. But before, you didn't. I mean, that, I really think, is an important, statement to reflect the way we have to take everything that was said before Jesus come, and what is, unless you see it in the light of what Jesus did and what he said, everything is not going to be right. You are not going to know God. That's what he's saying, isn't it? So, that should help us to understand and interpret all the Old Testament in a completely new light that the people in the Old Testament and the Jews all the time before and after, they still believe in it, believe in, because they could not see God through that, because it was just a shade of it. It's just a symbol of it, not the real thing. They had to look at Jesus and interpret everything with the new lens by which all the colors and all the shape change, because now we had the proper lens to look at things through. That's what he's saying here. Okay? But didn't stop there. He goes more in detail, because evidently we need to understand that. Otherwise, we cannot love with all our. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. After he just finished saying that, Philip really got it, didn't he? I mean, how can you be so dense? Well, he needed to be born again. Okay, he wasn't. Okay, but Jesus told this for them to know at the time I was right, okay, to go back and look at it, okay, because they needed to, evidently, because of the moment, I'm just finished saying it. You had to look at me, you saw me see God. And these people just didn't get it. Show us the Father. Okay? Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, I have been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. And so how can you say, show us the Father? I mean, if you didn't get it before, you should be getting it now. All right? All right. All right. No, how can anybody think that having read the Gospels, having seen Jesus in operation, that God can be the person putting sickness, disease, trouble on people? How can anybody do that unless one is looking on one side and forgetting it as soon as you look at the other side. So evidently, we have to understand why, how that happened, that people can be so confused about the Father, not to understand, to have even a clue of what he's like after they've seen Jesus. Because Jesus said, look at me. And not only, you know, here, but everywhere else too. So, James, you know, just was Jesus' brother, but he, you know, reinforces that in James 1:13 and following, you know, it says, you know, let no one say that he's tempted when tempted by God, or, you know, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor himself is tempted, anyone. Do you not believe that I am, no, wait a minute. Yeah, okay, so that's it. Okay, so let me go back to John chapter 14, and we were reading, you know, the last things I said, you know, I've seen me, I've seen the Father, John chapter 14, verse 9. Let's go to chapter 14, verse 10. Okay, do you not know, but do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? So, you know, they're essentially together. The word that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority or my own. The authority is not in the original. But the Father who dwells in me, he does the works. So, you know, he is doing what I see the Father is doing. Believe that I am in the Father. The Father is in me. Or else believe not for the sake of the works, but believe me for the sake of the word itself, the works themselves. So the idea is, you know, if you don't believe what I'm telling, see what the results I'm doing. See what I'm doing myself. And what, who can do that? Can anybody do that? Any person do that in himself? Okay? So, doesn't stop there, verse 12. For assuredly I say to you, and it isn't, you know, doesn't stop there. He just pushed forward and applies to ourselves. I say to you, who believes in me, the works that I do will do also, and greater works that we shall be doing, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Okay, so that's easy. The thing is, what he does is, okay, you saw God working through me, he said. And the same thing that I do, you are going to do, because I am with the Father, I am with you, and we are together with God. So the evidence that we believe in him is the fact that we are going to do the same thing that he did. Okay? That's what Israel, you see, there are results. From the spiritual position that takes place when we really believe in him, really believe in his name, believe in his character, believe in what he stands for, which is the same thing as believing in God, because he and God are the same. Now, the first things that we have to realize. The fact is that what we believe concerning God, concerning Jesus, and the two actually together, because they are one, if we really get it, okay, is going to have an effect on the what you experience now. What we are going to go through, the things that kind of going to happen to us, the result we are going to get, the same way as the result he got. Okay. Now, you know, many people see God as a demanding old guy that is there trying to get them as soon as they make a mistake. And this is the most distorted picture that the devil can put in anybody's mind, and that generally is passed on by religion. Because all religions have the same image of their God, whatever God it is. Okay, so we end up with Judaism and Christianity, and some people are going to think in terms of a religious terminology, religious ideas or religious attitude, and they're going to see God the same way. It doesn't matter what name is there or the group you belong to. That religious mentality, it needs to be demolished, because Jesus never, in all the preaching and everything he did, ever showed us or communicated that way. Never. In all his ministry, it was never communicated that way. It's never in the gospel. All the time that the disciples were trying to think that way, Jesus corrected them. And there are many times when, you know, they were going to heal the blind man. You know, who was the source of the problem? Who sinned? Should we call fire from heaven on them? And you don't know what spirit you are of. Now that's continually evident in everything that Jesus did. That he had a completely different picture. The way even he didn't call God Lord, he called him Father. And he said to us to pray that way. Go to the Father and pray to the Father. So I think, you know, that implies that you have an attitude, okay, of looking at God as your Father. Now, you know, in some cases that may be not justified because he's not. But, you know, the idea is that he's available to be. Okay? So, and the demand that God has are very reasonable. Okay? Both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, if you go through the eliminate all the religious detail. Okay? I say again in chapter 1, says, you know, wash yourself. 16 says, wash yourself and make yourself clean. Put away all the evil of your doing from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. That's the only thing he asks. Okay? Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the widow, fatherless. Plead for the widow. I mean, this is not asking anything that is so difficult to do, or shouldn't be. Seems to me just fair. Just come now and let us reason together. He's ready to even reason with you, says the Lord. For your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as like crimson, they shall be as wool. So the idea is, you know, you just come and deal with me, and we're going to resolve the issue. I'm not asking you something that is so difficult and so terrible and so, you know, hard to do. You do what is right. That's all he asks. And he cleans up all the other stuff. I mean, this is a pretty good deal he's trying to get with us. Okay? But we have to be dealing with him. Come and deal with him. Okay, and the thing is, why don't we deal with them? It's because we want to go our way. Because we want to do the wrong thing. So the idea is that he wants us to be able to respond to what he calls us to do. And it's nothing so difficult and so terrible. That we are not. You know, it says, verse 19, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So even just as you know, you're going to be blessed. That's where the blessing comes. That's where the benefit comes. But if you refuse and rebel, Then you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Okay, so it's not God that does those things. We create them for ourselves. Because he put in place laws that they operate by themselves. He doesn't need to come there and put the problem on you. You are calling the problem in because, you know, legally, you know, you have the right not to for protection. So the enemy knows what to do. When you're not protected, the enemy is there to do the work. There are so many scriptures, even in the Old Testament, that points out to that. For example, when Saul didn't obey God, said, you know, destroy everything that you got and everything else, you know, from the booty and kill everybody and don't take any of the stuff. And the soldiers took the stuff and they broke God's laws. Okay? So, Samuel said to Saul, to Paul, as the Lord has great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than fat and rams. For the, you know, I mean, he's talking about whether fat and rams. You know, the idea is, you know, God couldn't care less about your sacrifices and your religious activities. He's not impressed by religious show. He just wants you to be obedient, to follow his direction. And you know, you don't do a favor to him following his direction, because he gave you that direction so that you can be protected. Yeah, but the thing is, you see, the instruction that he gives us is because he wants us to be able, he wants to be able to bless us. Before we even do anything right, you know, he comes us, you know, he always does that. You know, when Adam sins, was Adam came and tried to connect with God? No, he hid himself because he was afraid, oh, he's going to blow me up. Maybe he should have. Because that's the thought that happens. Okay? God went around calling him. This is somebody that is mad because he made a mistake. Hello? That seems somebody that cares more about helping him to get out of trouble than the mistake he made. That's what is evidently done when he sent Jesus to die for all the messes of the world. You know, when all the messes in the world wanted not to know about him. See, we have to get the image of God the way he really is, not the way he's described by religious people. No matter who they are. Okay. See, in the New Testament, okay, the Old Testament, you know, he said, I read that verse here, 1 Samuel 15:23, says, for rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity as idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, also has rejected you from being a king. So, you know, you're not going to be able to achieve it. Okay. You cannot. I mean, he wants to bless us, but he cannot bless us because he's just. And he has to go against his justice to be able to help you. And he did exactly that. He discovered the trick to do because he's smarter than anybody else, and he discovered how to do that, which actually was to send his son to die for us. That is somebody that is angry, you know, against sinners. It's God Love is unconditional. See, God expects us to be have unconditional love, love your enemies. It would be fair if he expects us to do that when he doesn't do himself. And he's certainly fair. You can see it right there. Okay? So that's what we can expect. That he, if he expects something from us, you can expect that he's going to do that as well. Okay? Now, in the New Testament, instead of having these terminologies and these things that are more confusing, it's much clearer because instead of talking about shade and types, he's talking about spiritual dimension and spiritual truth, okay? Which is cutting the chase and going right to where the things is important for us to understand the way it operates inside us. And this is given in 1 John chapter 1. Okay, that's what it's talking about. There is the same thing. Verse 5 says, and this is the message which I heard from the beginning, from him, and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Okay, so, number one, light involves many things, but one of the things that light does is make you see. So, you know, God enables you to see things. Where? In the physical? No, you can see without, you know, God intervening. You know, spiritually, you need God to see things. You have to get closer to God to be able to see spiritual things. Okay? So, you have to have a relationship with Him. And here is explaining this. Okay, God is not. God is His natural nature is light. His nature is be able to show the truth. Understand the truth, connect with the truth. He said, this is the message we heard from him and declare to you, God is light, and in there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we do not practice the truth. See, fellowship with him means, you know, we have a relationship with him. We cannot have a relationship with light if we walk in darkness. That's pretty clear. So, you know, the fact that, you know, any understanding, any illumination of spiritual things come from a relationship with God. Okay? So, that's what we have to get. Okay? We don't see the truth and have no fellowship with Him if we walk in the darkness because we choose not to see. Okay? Because there are other things we want to see. Okay. So, when we say, if we have the practice, the truth, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So, walking in the light, okay, means that we walk not in our own ideas, not in our own interpretation. Okay. But in spirit and in truth. Okay, this is the way you see the walking in the light is not walking in your thinking, walking according to the physical evidences. Actually, has nothing to do with physical evidences. The physical evidences may be the result of it. But the walking in the light happens inside your heart, inside of the decision you make. It's through your spirit and God's spirit when they commune with one another, and then you are going to be motivated making the decision that you need to make so that you are obedient to God. So, He is in the light. If you walk with Him, you have to be in the light. Otherwise, if you are not walking in the light, you are not walking with Him. You have no fellowship with Him. Fellowship means walking together. Okay, but walking together, walking with the light, what means that? As you walk in the light, you understand, you have light, you see things, you understand things properly. Okay, now, so we say, I have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, that's the way it happens. Why? Because the light before we even move in the wrong direction towards darkness, reveal to us that's darkness, this is light. We can see the difference between light and darkness. And we choose light because we are walking that way. Because we have made that decision before. Because we have rejected the things of darkness and we have accepted the things of light. But you see, the things of doing what God wants us to do involving the decision we make before about walking in the light that He has given us. Otherwise, we cannot do it. If we have wrong ideas about Him, we are walking in darkness already. All right? So, besides that we have not sinned, we made Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So, see, that's the way it is. So, let's see a moment what the mental condition is. This is the way God sees us. He created us imperfectly. Okay? He couldn't create another God. So He created beings that are not as perfect as He is. And He knows that because He created us that way. So because He created us, He's responsible, in a way, for us. He's responsible even for the messes we make. Or at least He feels about it. He realizes He made that way, so He can say, well, you know, you are making a mess. I'm going to squeeze you and reduce to nothing. I mean, it's inconceivable for Him to do something like that. Are you following me? So the only thing that He can do is He's sorry for us. I mean, poor little piece of soil. Of earth. Okay? You are there all messed up. I better help you. Well, I'm not the one saying. We just finished reading 103. That's what it's saying in verse 17. You know, Psalm 103, verse 17 and following. Okay? But the mercy of the Lord is forever and last. Oh no, I'm skipping myself. Start from verse 15. So, for us, for men, His days are like grass. As a flower in the field, it flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. So you see, I mean, you are not even coming close to you know, being in the same level there from that point of view. Okay? But the following verse. The mercies of the Lord is for everlasting to everlasting. Okay? So that is position. Okay? For on those who fear Him and His righteousness to children's children. Oh, you see? I mean, you know, He's good to the children. You don't understand what He's meant. He's talking, you have to read the following verse. It's not that because you are the son of somebody that trusts, that is connected with God, your children are going to be connected with God. That's not what the word says. God doesn't have grandchildren. He has only children that need to be connected with Him through a decision that they made. In fact, it says, you know, just, you know, for His righteousness to children's children, then correct the, for you, to make sure that you are, to such as keep His covenant. You see, only the ones that keep His covenant, then are going to be benefiting from that. And those who remember His commandment to do them. So it's not a question of who we are born from, but it's a question of, are you listening? Are you connected? Are you willing? All right? Now, you have to keep the arrangement, the contractual arrangement between you and God. And that is simply obeying, listening, being open. Okay? And He's not asking you to do something terrible. He's asking just to be fair. To walk in the truth, in spirit and in truth. Not to be deceived, not to be evil. Okay? So, this is repeated, you know, going before, you know, in Psalm 103, verse 6, as the Lord executes righteousness and justice, you know, to all who are oppressed. Okay? So, there are other ones there, you know. He has pity for us as children. The Father has pity for his children, so the Lord has pity for those who, you know, fear him. Now, the word fearing, you know, is another thing that will be interpreted always about it. You know, fearing is not... The fear of the Lord doesn't make you run away from God. The fear of the Lord makes you run to God. It's the opposite. Okay? Actually, the proper understanding of the word fear in the, of the Lord is awesome. The fact that he's so powerful, so things that you want to be under his wings. Okay? So, the thing is, you know, that brings us to the end of Psalm 103, you know, that tells a story, complete the story, complete the picture. Okay? It says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. So, there are some implications. If you are rebellious, well, you know that you're doomed. Because you're not going to get anywhere. Because he rules over all. But his kingdom is not just physical, it's spiritual. Because he put his throne in heaven. So it's from there where the whole power is, that he controls everything. And he doesn't do it physically. You know, there are spiritual laws that he put in place in the universe. And physical laws that are going to work if you want it or not. Doesn't matter if you think that you can fly, you know, try to walk out of the roof. Well, the same thing is true in many other ways. You don't think that, you know, oh, you can, you know, maybe be sneaky and do the things you want to do anyway, and, you know, think that you can make it anyway. Well, I'm sorry, it works by itself. It doesn't need to do anything. Okay? So, see, after he's just said that, you know, his throne in heaven and his kingdom rule over all, you know, the last three verses there says, you know, all you angels who are, you know, praising, you know, all the host, the heavenly host praising, all the creation of them, you know, praising. So everything that realizes that, realizes that, you know, the attitude that they should have, they can have, is actually to praise the Lord, bless the Lord. Okay. Why? Because that attitude is going to things that is going to put you in the position to receive.
Yes.
In the position that you are going to be open to listen to what is talking to you, in the position in which you, okay, are going to be able to see what he is really like. Otherwise, see, Psalm 18, to those who has, you know, devious, he is going to show himself devious. Why? It's not that God is devious, it's that you are going to see him as devious. See, what the Old Testament way of expressing is what somebody that doesn't know the Lord, looking at the circumstances, is going to do. Blame God for things that God has nothing to do with. See, the Pharaoh hardened his heart. Oh, God hardened before the Lord. It's not God hardening. God doesn't harden anybody's heart. Just read the New Testament. And Jesus says very clearly what happened when the heart is get hardened. And we still set the position. And God is threatening us. So, you know, the fact that God did that is simply meaning God allowed that to happen. He gave up on the Pharaoh and just said, well, you want to blow up with the old army of youths? Or right I am. The sea was winning. It doesn't, see, just because some things are written in a certain way doesn't mean that that's what they really mean. You have to put them together with all the other parts of the Bible and see where the Bible part of the door, the same thing were expressed. And when they are expressed not in shadow or time, but expressed actually with spiritual values and words, then that you, those are the things that you have to use as basis, not the other. Well, I think I can close for today. I'm trying to reinforce this understanding, because this is so difficult to break in the mentality of people that have been taught for centuries the same junk. And they use the Bible to keep themselves in bondage, because they don't understand what the Bible is saying and how it's said. It's not by being literal. The letter kills. It's the spirit that gives life. So you have to go beyond the letter. It's not just an accurate translation. Well, accurate translation that was said to somebody that is 2 years old is different from the explanation when somebody becomes 30 years old and you can talk to him straight. Are you still with me? Okay. So, I hope that after this, we're going to take some other stuff from the New Testament and see how even in the New Testament, when the language was directed to the people that had fixed idea, changed. There wasn't matching some of the other parts. It's not because the Bible is inconsistent, it's because you talk to a person according to the things that they can understand. So let's close in prayer for today. I hope you got something. Okay, what we want is to connect with God, okay, to the place that when we know Him, you know, we go, oh God, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Hallelujah. Because it's a blessing to know the truth. And that's what, you know, the angel came to announce when Jesus was born. Okay. Amen? Okay, let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, for today. Thank you, Lord, that you reign all over everything, that you are in control. Even the things that seems so crazy that happen these days, Lord, they are the best possible situation given the circumstances. And that you are there with us to guide us through the things that happen, to bring us to a place of victory if we are listening and if we are open and if we know your name, if we know what you are like. Because we are not going to be lost, we are not going to be afraid, we are not going to be concerned. We know that if you are for us, who can be against us? If we come to you, Lord, you are going to be our shield. Lord, you are going to be our strength. You are going to be our shepherd. Lord, and we shall not want. So we just praise you and thank you for that. And give you all the honor and the glory to you, Lord. Because it's not by might or not by power. It's by your spirit. That we may learn to walk with you, to be, Lord, moved by your spirit, and to allow you, Lord, to guide us, because we in ourselves can do nothing. But with you, we don't stop right there. We go beyond that. With you, we can do all things. And we thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Amen. Thank you.